You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 16th of March 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, there's a meme going around and it is supposedly of a Donegal Sinn Féin councillor welcoming Ukraine refugees into his home. And the look on his face is absolutely priceless as the Ukrainian refugees are all black. Now, I don't know if it is a genuine photograph, but it is quite entertaining. And of course, that follows on from the news story that we were discussing yesterday, where it seems a third of the supposed Ukrainian refugees are actually black. There's another news story out where a poor Ukrainian female refugee was actually raped in a refugee center by black Ukrainian refugees. Well, they were black rapists, but they had Ukrainian passports. And I'm wondering if what's happening is that the illegal economic migrants that were trying to break into Poland from Belarus, whether they are now making their way down into Ukraine, picking up passports, purchasing passports, because Ukraine is a very corrupt country. It wouldn't surprise me if it was quite easy to purchase a Ukraine passport. Purchasing a passport and then making their way in with the genuine refugees. Don't forget, we heard yesterday how there was an issue with dual nationality. And that was how these black refugees were getting in with the Ukrainians. Somehow they managed to have two passports. So that could be what's going on there. I think the fake refugees that were in Belarus a month or two back, I think they're now in Ukraine. Well, I want to get into a different news story today about the changing of our history, a common theme that we talk about here at Radio Albion. A replica of the first steam-powered locomotive in Wales could be relabeled by the National Museum of Wales to highlight the slave trade's links to the development of the steam and railway infrastructure in Wales. And this is absolutely insane. There are no slave trade links to Wales. Wales was essentially a mining community when the industrial age began, and the steam and railway infrastructure were created to move coal around. We didn't have slaves in Britain at this time. And in actual fact, the steam trains and the railways were used to help put a stop to slavery in Africa. You will find in the Greatest Britons section in the archive at Radio Albion that one of our greatest Britons is David Livingstone. And David Livingstone was a great campaigner for the abolition of slavery. And his idea to help abolish slavery was to colonize Africa and build colonies there and link them up with railways and link them up to the coast and set up industry there so that the black Africans could create products of their own and trade them on the world market, on the world stage, instead of being forced to trade with their own people, which is essentially what they were doing. The way to stop slavery, that the hardest problem with stopping slavery was stopping the black Africans from selling other black Africans. And David Livingstone's idea of how to do this was to bring the railway infrastructure to Africa. So it actually helped to put a stop to slavery. And yet somehow the National Museum of Wales are trying to link steam and railway infrastructure in Wales with slavery. And maybe they're trying to think of the steam-powered ships, but steam-powered ships weren't used to transport slaves. Sail ships were used to transport the slaves. There is no link at all to slavery. I think what they're just trying to do, these groups which are trying to subvert our history, they're just trying to find ways to attack British history, basically. It seems that everything they're trying to say has a link to slavery. Because slavery was going on in the 18th and the 19th century, and because that was going on in America, and there were British traders that were involved in world trade, and the profits from world trade went into building up Britain, of course, and there were profits made in Africa as well, and the profits that were made in Africa were used for building up parts of Africa by these big African chiefs who lived in great palaces and great luxury that they actually made from this. I forget what the name of it is, maybe the Benin Slave Empire, something like that, was one particular part of Africa. But because we actually built up Britain with the money that we made from trade, they used that as an excuse to say that everything that was built in the 18th and the 19th century therefore has a link to slavery. And yet they don't apply the same rules to Africa and say, well, these black Africans also made money from slavery, therefore we should be labeling whatever these great slave empires in Africa, whatever they built, as also being made with the proceeds of slavery. It just seems that the white man is blamed for this, and it is white people that are mainly to blame for doing this. I mean, we're doing this to ourselves. If you look at these organizations that are doing this, they're always fronted by white leftists. If you look back 150 years ago, when black slaves were freed, they really didn't know what it was that they were going to be doing. I mean, they were upset at this because they looked upon their master as the person that provided everything for them. They provided a roof over their heads, fed them. And they were like, well, what are we going to do? If you're not looking after us, how are we going to look after ourselves? And they had an issue with that. And it wasn't until probably the last 20 or 30 years that we've tried to say white people were terrible people because of this, because we were the ones that put a stop to slavery. And it was just the system of employment that had gone on for thousands of years. In white nations, if you look at Rome, Rome was full of slaves. The Greek Empire was full of slaves. Assyria was full of slaves. We didn't really have a system where people got paid wages and they could go to shops and purchase the things that they needed. Everything was provided, basically. And if you had a farm or you had some means of production and you needed people to work on it, then you would take people that were in debt, or people would sell themselves into indentured servitude, or you would take people that had been captured during war, because if you went to war against a country and you won the war, then that country obviously needed to have some way of paying you back for the costs that it had cost for the war. So essentially the population would be enslaved, and then after a certain amount of time, they would be freed. If you look at Anglo-Saxon times, we had slaves. The Welsh were turned into slaves. In actual fact, the legendary reason why Rome sent missionaries into Britain is because the Pope saw these blue-eyed, fair-looking, blonde slaves at the slave market in Rome, and he said, well, where do these people come from? And the Anglo-Saxons, who were the slave owners, said, well, they come from Britain. And the Pope said, well, we should send missionaries to Britain. Quite clearly, he was unaware of the fact that Christianity had already been in Britain by that time for about 400 years. But the legend shows that there were white slaves. And then, of course, we get to the Arab slave trade, where Arab ships would literally wash up on the beaches of Europe, run up the beach and go to the nearby village and capture as many able-bodied males and females that they could and take them back to Morocco and then sell them on into Arabia. And there were lots of brave Christian men that would then go out to Arabia and purchase these slaves to bring them back to Christian Europe. And there are some estimates that there are 1 million white people that were taken in this trade. Black people do not have a monopoly on having been enslaved. And they are being encouraged to see themselves as victims of white people, and it just serves to create division within our society, and it serves to end up with black people resenting white people, and they shouldn't really be resenting us because we've done so much for them. We've helped to develop Africa, we put a stop to slavery, we've welcomed them into our country to work, we've even given them citizenship and allowed them to call themselves by our own family name. And yet, instead of encouraging them to be grateful to us for that, we encourage them to see us as having oppressed them, and we attack our own history. Because that's what is going on here. We are attacking these great achievements of the past, such as developing the steam engine and steam trains and railway infrastructure, and we're then trying to say that all this came about because of slavery. And this just causes resentment amongst black people, and it instills a sense of guilt into white people, and white people end up not wanting to breed. They end up not thinking highly of themselves. And you need to instill a sense of self-esteem in people to get the best out of them. I mean, we understand this as far as black people are concerned. We say, well, they need to be encouraged to have a high self-esteem, so we need to be teaching them about the great people in their past. We need to be showing themselves represented on the television and at schools. And we understand the need for self-esteem amongst non-white communities, but we're doing it at the expense of the self-esteem of white people. And again, this is the problem that occurs when you have multiculturalism, because you get a conflict of interest. If you're going to try and build up the self-esteem of black people, it's going to be at the expense of whites. If you build up the self-esteem of whites, then it might well be at the expense of black people. And there's no real solution to that. I mean, if you have a multicultural system, it just means that everybody lacks self-esteem. Everybody is uncomfortable because they're not around their own people all the time. And you're always going to be more contented when you are amongst your own family. And we hear all the time how black people and non-whites feel uncomfortable at job interviews because the job interviewer is white instead of black, or they cannot empathize with the teacher at school because the teacher is white instead of black. And this is perfectly natural to feel like this. It's because we feel more contented and we feel more safe and secure when we are among our own people. So really, instead of saying, well, they need to have more black people mixed in amongst the white people, it would be much better for non-whites to be saying, well, we want to have all non-whites. We want to be amongst our own community. We want segregation. And that is effectively the best way to be, is to live amongst your own community. Clearly, the natural way to be is to have an entire territory to yourself. But for the last 70 years, we've been importing peoples vastly different to our own into our countries, and they are here now. So a compromise would be just to have separate communities within the territory. That's what people naturally do anyway. They gravitate towards their own people. Jews used to live amongst their own people. You get areas of Britain that are predominantly Pakistani or predominantly Caribbean. And this is because people like to be amongst their own people. There's nothing offensive about that. It's just the natural way to be. We seem to have forgotten that. And at the same time as forgetting that, we seem to be just attacking our history and throwing shade at our ancestors, at some of our greatest ancestors, the ones that did great things, such as developing steam and railway. Getting back to the article, Richard Trevithick's locomotive was used in the first steam-powered rail journey, which took place at the Penydarren Ironworks in Merthyr Tydfil in Wales in 1804. The Cornish inventor, Mr. Trevithick, had no personal links to slavery. So why is it that they are trying to cancel this replica of the first steam-powered locomotive? Well, the National Museum of Wales determined links that there were links between steam train technology and the slave trade, claiming that the use of the invention is rooted in colonialism and racism. Their statement said, although there might not be direct links between the Trevithick locomotive and the slave trade, we acknowledge the reality that links to slavery are woven into the warp and weft of Welsh society. Well, how can that be when there weren't any black slaves in Britain? The British tradition was that if any slave could actually come to Britain, then they were liberated and they were no longer a slave, because we did not have enslaved people in Britain by the 18th century. I say we did in Anglo-Saxon times, but by the time we got to the 18th century, we saw a personal freedom and individualism as being far more important than we did centuries before that. But the National Museum of Wales doesn't seem to understand that. They say trade and colonial exploitation were embedded into Wales' economy and society and were fundamental to Wales' development as an industrialised nation. Well, trade was important. We did trade, as I say. We had coal, we had slate that was being traded from Wales, and obviously we would want cotton and we would want tobacco, and those things would come from America. But Africa also wanted cotton and tobacco, and Africa wanted coal and slate and the things that Britain was producing. So those products would get taken to Africa, and the African chiefs would sell African human resources in exchange for the products that we had in Wales. And those human resources would then get taken to America, and they would again be exchanged for tobacco and cotton and what have you, and then that would be brought back to Britain. So there was a trade there that benefited each one of these groups. And okay, people will say, well, some of these slaves were mistreated. I'm sure some of them were mistreated, but I think the vast majority of them were not mistreated. They were just expected to work in exchange for their keep, and on the whole, they were generally happy with that. And all you have to do is look back to the 18th and 19th century and read the reports where people interviewed the slaves themselves and talked about the system. And you have to understand that we were no different back then than we are today. And white people are a very generous people. We're a very charitable people. We have all these different charities. We even have charities for animals. We are that kind and generous. And the idea that we would have mistreated these people that were working for us, that we had paid a lot of money for, just doesn't really add up, does it? Okay, we do get some bad employers today that mistreat people, but I would suggest that our morals today are far worse than they used to be. I mean, we used to be a very Christian in our outlook on things, and it says in the Bible that you should not mistreat your slaves, and that was the way that people were. We have to understand it was a different system back then to what we have today. And that system wasn't really anything to do with Wales. And there was mistreatment in Wales as well. We had child labour. We had children that were running up chimneys, children that were running in between the looms in the workhouses, and they were running the risk of losing their limbs as they were trying to re-thread the spindles. And black people do not have a monopoly on these sorts of things. And the only reason they think they do is because we are teaching them to think that. in this drive to give them this extra self-esteem. As I say, it's at the expense of our own self-esteem. And the solution to it isn't to have more of the same, because that will just cause more problems. The solution to it is segregation. The National Museum of Wales said, as we continue to audit the collection, we will explore how the slave trade linked and fed into the development of the steam and railway infrastructure in Wales. And of course, the way that the slave trade was linked to it is that it was because of the steam and railway infrastructure being built in Africa that there was a chance to put a stop to the slave trade. That was the whole idea of David Livingstone. All you have to do is look up David Livingstone on Wikipedia and you can read all about it and all about how he wanted to set up colonies there and provide other things for the black Africans to trade in rather than them being forced to just trade in their own people. Well, this move has received criticism from UK heritage campaigners, such as the founder of Save Our Statues. And I've been talking about this Save Our Statues organisation since they began. They're a really good organisation. They don't just look out for monuments that are at threat. They also try to prevent the changing of street names, and they draw attention to all these attacks on our history. And the main organizer behind it now is now getting asked for his opinion on issues such as this. This news report actually comes from GB News, the supposedly conservative news channel that we have over here in Britain as an alternative to BBC News and Sky News. Robert Pohl said, trying to cancel trains shows the desperation of some to attack any and every part of British history. We should be celebrating these amazing feats of civilization rather than weaving them into a false narrative of endless oppression. This relentless focus on supposed negative associations of progress is leading us backwards, with science, philosophy, and now industry all being systematically renounced. And it's like we're going back to barbarism. All the great achievements that we have made, we're now saying that they were all made by racists, they've all got links to slavery. We're even removing sheet music from schools because apparently music has links to slavery, because there aren't that many black classical composers. And it's just getting absolutely ridiculous now. It's a race to the bottom that we are involved in. And you can link this to equality, because the only way to make everybody all equal is to squash everybody down to the lowest common denominator. The conservatives talk about leveling up. Well, it's not possible to level things up. If you're a plasterer, you'll understand that you can only flatten something down if you want to make it all level. The National Museum of Wales confirmed that the Trevithick replica locomotive, which is displayed at the National Waterfront Museum in Swansea, would be subject to the Charter for Decolonising audit. And this is an audit that the Welsh Government have ordered, I believe, which is supposed to identify parts of our history that need contextualizing in the light of slavery. And they're basically going through history, finding anything that is to do with the 18th and the early 19th century, or the 17th and the 18th century, and basically trying to find a tenuous link to slavery. That they're doing it with the churches, they're doing it with statues, and now they're literally going through the museums. And it can only be that they're just finding anything from that particular time and then saying it's to do with slavery. Because like in this issue here, what they've actually found was used to put a stop to slavery. It wasn't used to help slavery in any way. The only connection that they could find is that these sorts of inventions were paid for with money that was in the economy, in the national economy, and a large portion of the money that was in the national economy came from trade. But the trade was a triangular trade. That trade also benefited the Africans. It's not like we went over there and we kidnapped black Africans. We purchased them in exchange for goods and currency. They were purchased from the African chiefs, and then they were sold. in exchange for goods in America and the goods brought back to Britain. And we sold the goods that we created here in Britain. And you had this triangular trade. It's not right to think that we were just going out there on the African continent and hunting black people and kidnapping them and then taking them to Britain, taking them to America and forcing them to work to their death, starving them to death because we could just get more Africans for free. That's not the way that it worked. They had to be paid for, and you had to keep your workforce healthy if you wanted your workforce to work well. I mean, you have to take time off if you are ill. You can't work. If you look at the writings that were made at the time, they all say that there was only a certain amount, a certain speed that the slaves would work at, and you couldn't get them to work at a faster speed. So there would be no point in mistreating them. As I say, I'm sure there were a minority that were mistreated, but that would be the equivalent of not maintaining your car, or deliberately damaging your car, or deliberately damaging your tractor. It's not logical that it would go on. And it's not logical that a people such as ourselves, the people that are so linked with charity and mercy and looking after one another, that we would be mistreating these people. I mean, you can even look at the churches. I mean, you don't get a more charitable institution than the church. And churches owned shares in plantations in Jamaica and the Caribbean. And these churches did not think that they were doing anything sinful by doing that. They clearly thought that they were helping out these black African slaves. So they were providing food for them, they were looking after them, they were taking them out from Africa, which was seen as a very dangerous place to be, very barbaric in certain instances with cannibalism and all the rest. And they thought that what they were doing is a charitable thing by being involved with these plantations that were over there in the Caribbean. And when you think about this, and you think about this logically, and you apply common sense to it, and you think, well, look at the way we are today, and look at our institutions, and we weren't a different people back then. I mean, we are the same people essentially. We're the same. We have the same DNA as the people back then. It doesn't make sense that we would have mistreated these people, and the fact that we worked hard to do away with slavery shows that the prevailing mentality was one of being charitable and wanting to look after others, not of wanting to oppress other peoples or abuse them or misuse them. And again, I'm generally talking on the whole here. Obviously, there would have been exceptions to the rule. I mean, one of the things they said back then is that, well, slavery is an institution, marriage is also an institution, and there are bad husbands that beat their wives. That doesn't mean that marriage as an institution is a bad thing, just because there are exceptions to the rule that abuse the position that they're in. And they said it's the same thing with slavery. On the whole, the slaves are treated well and they're happy when you talk to them. And there are a minority of slave owners that beat and abuse their slaves. And they are not, those sorts of people would not be well liked in the community. They would not be well liked by their slaves. And they would end up not running a very good plantation, would they, if they were abusing their slaves? And the slaves would end up running away. And if the slaves were being abused, I'm sure we had laws to prevent the abuse of people, the same as we have laws today to prevent the abuse of people. I mean, back then, if you were to see somebody attacking a slave, it would be like seeing somebody attacking a pet dog or something. I mean, you would be incensed to see that. It was not something that was seen as normal behavior. Somebody behaving like that would likely be ostracized from the community if it was known that they behaved like that. The images that we see of how slavery is from Hollywood, they're massively exaggerated. They just concentrate on the negative aspects of it, on the minority that were badly behaved. And it all encourages these divisions in society. It just encourages black people to resent white people. And I know that people probably aren't used to hearing somebody talk like this or speak like this, but my understanding of it all comes from the original source documents. It comes from reading books that were written in the 18th century on both sides, on the side that was trying to abolish slavery and the side that was trying to keep slavery. And you can read these books, and because they're primary source documents, because they were written at the time, you know that they are as accurate a representation of events as it is possible to get. And you can read from some of these slave owners, and they were highly moral people, and they looked on their slaves as if they were like their own children. And this was a very common way that black slaves were looked upon. They were spoken of as a childlike race because they weren't as technologically advanced as Europeans were. And as Christian slave owners, the owners understood that they needed to set a very good example to their slaves, and they should educate them and try to teach them the ways of civilization. On the whole, these were good people, and a lot of them were very concerned as to how these slaves would look after themselves once they were actually freed. And if you look at a book called The Truth About Lynching in the American South, I believe it's called, it lists all the gifts that were actually made to these slaves by the slave owners. Not small gifts either. Huge expanses of land and farming equipment and all the means for them to provide for themselves, because the slave owners were concerned that their slaves would not be able to provide for themselves and provide food for themselves once slavery was done away with. And if that is the case, and it is the case because the evidence is there for it, then, you know, they weren't bad people. They weren't bad people at all. So I would recommend people actually look into this. Look up the primary source documents. Don't look at anything that's been written in the last 50 years, because that's 150 years after the case. And we also have all this propaganda today, which is essentially there to increase the self-esteem of black people, but it's at the expense of the self-esteem of white people. And you're never gonna square the circle. You're never gonna be able to stop that, because you have two different peoples living within the one territory, and because of that, you have a conflict of interest. And of course, this is what we're all about here at Radio Albion. It's not about criticizing individual groups or criticizing individual peoples. It's the policy of multiculturalism that is central to this. If you didn't have the policy of multiculturalism, if you didn't have two different people groups, or at least two different people groups living within one territory, then you wouldn't be able to have that conflict of interest. You wouldn't be able to have any discrimination taking place. All these problems that come about because of this, like the different ways of looking at history, they wouldn't exist. And when you think of the word history, it's his story. It's one person's story. So it's one person's point of view. And what we're now being told with history, they're trying to tell it from different points of view. And again, that you come up with a conflict of interest. And nobody is happy. If you do a poll of black people and say, are you happy with everything and the way you're treated? They're going to say, well, no, I think the country is racist and I'm not being treated very well. And if you were to do a poll of the white working class, I'm sure they would say the same, that they don't think they're being treated very well. Whereas if we had homogenous communities, at least we would know that whatever we were doing was down to us and ourselves alone, without the influence of others. And then we could address any issues that we had that were causing the community problems. Well, finishing up here with this article here, the NMW, the National Museum of Wales, pledges to identify collections linked to colonial aggression and the transatlantic slave trade. So how does Wales have anything to do with colonial aggression? The Welsh themselves were banned from speaking Welsh right up until, I think, the early 19th century. They weren't even allowed to speak their own language. The colonial aggression was going on from the English into the Welsh. The museum said, "We will review this area of our collection in collaboration with our community partners to ensure that we give clear and explicit information to audiences on the sometimes complex history of objects in our collections and the stories they tell. This will form a part of our wider decolonizing work." So it's all about decolonizing our history, which essentially means stop telling history from our point of view and start telling it from other people's point of view. And then it ceases to be history and it ceases to be accurate. And this instance here is one of the more ridiculous instances, trying to cancel steam locomotives. But this is going on throughout Britain in museums and in towns and cities where they're trying to recontextualize everything. And I am very thankful that we do have this organization, Save Our Statues. And I'm very thankful for Robert Pohl, who seems to be marshalling the resources to counter this. So check him out on Save Our Statues at Twitter and also at saveourstatues.net. And let's give him as much support in his campaign as we can. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.